It's Ladies Night. Thank you for tuning in to Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk on YAT Radio, featuring the Proverbs 31 ladies. Join our host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron B. Buford is the pastor, and some of the most anointed women of God in discussion on what God wants us to be and how to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's break some chains with the Proverbs 31 ladies.
Praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us tonight. This is Pastor Kimberly Buford from New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, where the pastor is Apostle Kyron D. Buford. And we want to thank you for joining us on Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. Before we get any closer, before we go any further, let us go before the throne. Daddy, thank you. We love you today, Daddy. We praise and we bless you, Daddy. We honor you with our lives. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. You are worthy. You are the only one worthy. You are the only one who is worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. We just love you, Daddy. We pour our love out on you. Thank you for blessing us with another day. Thank you for blessing us with our right minds. Thank you for blessing us with function of our limbs, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we are able to do and to be and to have our being, Lord God, to move about, to think clearly, to have a job, to have families, to function properly, Lord God. We just thank you. We thank you for the little things, Daddy, the little things that many don't even think to thank you for, Lord God. We thank you now. We bless you. We honor you. We give you glory. Lord God, use me today. Use all of those that come on this line today to speak a word, Lord God. The word that you give us, Lord God, it's not about us. We are but dust. But you, Lord God, have the words of everlasting life. Put those words into my mouth, Lord God. Put those words into our mouths, Lord God. Father God, give us those words that will destroy yokes and break chains, Lord God, and set the captives free. That's why you've sent us, Lord God. That's why you send us to go out. And we gladly do it, Lord God. We gladly go. We'll go where you tell us to go. We'll do what you tell us to do. And we will bless your holy name. We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? Where the Lord goes, Jesus, where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you do, I do. Lord, we're going to go and do the work that you called us to. Amen.
What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Jesus only did what he saw you do.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. And we can drop the mic and do the benediction. That's everything we're talking about tonight anyway. That's it. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. Because we're supposed to be mini Christ. We're supposed to look just like him. Amen?
Amen.
That's the whole point. The whole point is to look like him. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But I love that song for that reason. It's a reminder of what we're supposed to be doing. Where you go, Lord, I go. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to go where you tell me to go, and I'm going to say what you tell me to say, and then I'm going to shut up. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, tonight we're going to go back to where we were last week. We were in chapter 5 of Matthew, and we were studying the Beatitudes. We were talking about the Beatitudes. And the reason we were talking about the Beatitudes is because we are talking about exercising our spirit, man. We're talking about exercising our spiritual muscle, getting in there and reading our Bibles. And really and truly, this is a great time. If there's anyone out here that will hear this over the on the internet, in the archives, or that's tuned in, who is looking to grow spiritually, one of the first things we need to do is just start reading God's Word. There are some awesome programs online where they will help you do the Bible in 1 year, reading through the Bible in 1 year. And it's an awesome opportunity to just grow in Christ, to learn the Word of God, because this is who God is. His Word is who he is. And once we learn that, once we learn the Word of God, then we will know him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So
Amen.
Today we're going to be in we're in Matthew chapter 5, as we were last week, and we are talking about, we started out talking about Jesus going up and teaching, and then we started getting into the Beatitudes, and it was, blessed are, and Pastor Rosie, you on here?
I am. Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here.
That's good. That's good. Is there anybody else on the line tonight?
I'm here. It's Rochelle.
Hey, sweetie. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing great.
Well, praise God. I'm glad y'all are on here. Is anybody else on the line that wants to say anything? Amen, amen. Well, we're just going to go forward then, and especially because it's both of you all, I expect some conversation tonight. We're going to have a good one tonight. Amen. So, Pastor Rosie, do you kind of want to just kind of touch on the things that we talked about last week? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, oh my goodness.
Well I'll get started on that.
I'm not sure how far we got into the Beatitudes.
We didn't get far. The first one talked about people being humble, recognizing their need for God.
Uh huh.
That was being poor in spirit. And you said some really good, it was really powerful, something that you said about that. I think it was you that said it last week, and you were talking about people recognizing their need for God. As a matter of fact, that was the second one. That was the second one. You were talking about, blessed are they that mourn, because they shall be comforted. And mourning was interceding.
Right.
Oh. That's right. The first one that we talked about. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these are, you know what? You and I did talk about this, because we were talking about people that were rich in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be rich and still be poor in spirit, recognizing that you have a need, and your need
Amen.
Is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And so, and the Bible says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People that recognize their need for Jesus, they're going to see they're going to see him. They're going to recognize, they're going to have him. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those, you remember now?
I think I remember now. That's right. Those that those that are poor in spirit, it didn't mean that, well, it says poor in spirit. So they recognize their need for the Lord. And they realized that nothing, they were tied to, that's what I was saying, they were tied to nothing. You're not tied to anything. Even if you were a billionaire and you're born again Christian, your billions, your millions, all the homes you have, all the cars you have, whatever you have, it really is to serve the body of Christ, but you're not tied to it. You know, you're not really tied to it.
Yep.
No, everything you have belongs to the body of Christ, really.
Amen.
You may have it in your name, but it's on loan to you, and God is always seeking to bless us like that and to see how we will handle what he gives to us. You know.
Amen. Amen.
So
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say the main thing is that you're not tied to anything. That's not your. Anytime you're tied to something, you have made an idol of it. You know.
Amen.
You can't give it up. You know. You can't give it up.
And you know what else? Anytime you're tied to something, you've made your home with it.
That's right.
And our home is supposed to be in heaven. And as my pastor's wife years ago used to say, she used to always tell me, travel light.
Be
able to pick up your tent pegs and move anytime you need to.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be able to do, travel light. Don't get attached to this world because this world ain't our home. We are sojourners passing through. This world
That's
is
awesome.
Not our home. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talked about that, when we were talking about interceding, we were talking about they that mourn not only for their own sins, but for the sins of others. And they cry out. Amen. They cry out and they seek God for the souls of other people that they might make it in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about, I can't remember what scripture it was I was reading, but it was very poignant that one of the things that it was saying, it was talking about, the scripture said something to the effect, if the righteous man barely makes it in, where shall the sin of man be found? That should really be a sobering thought to everybody. If the righteous barely make it in, the righteous scrape by, they get in the door smelling like smoke. The sinners ain't got a choice. The sinners ain't got a chance. And that's why it's so imperative for us as people of God to go back out there and do everything we can to know about the God that we serve. It's necessary. And this one talks about mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, that cry out, that intercede for others, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Rosie, you want to throw something else in that?
Well, you know, they shall be comforted. It just implies that they are being strengthened, you know.
Amen.
They are being consoled and strengthened.
Amen.
And I mean, wow.
Amen.
It's kind of self-explanatory, yes.
Yeah. Amen. Well, the next one, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And when we were talking about meekness last week, one of the things that we were talking about, first of all, meekness is controlled strength, not weakness. It's controlled strength.
Definitely
not weak. I'm sorry?
It definitely does not mean weak, even though people outside of the kingdom of God look at it as very weak.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, they will talk about you and laugh at you and call you all kinds of names. But you are not weak. And as a matter of fact, you have a greater influence on people when you're meek.
Amen.
It takes a little strength to hold back, as you said.
Moses was meek. Jesus was meek. And neither one was a wimp.
No.
Neither one was a wimp. Both of them were strong men. They were men. They were strong men. But they learned how to control their strength. They knew how to control their strength. So it wasn't a weak thing to them. It wasn't weakness to them.
Yeah.
One thing that we talked about last week was what meekness is not. Meekness is not being calm and quiet when you're dealing with people and then later on going back talking about them. That's not meekness.
Right.
Meekness
is
not, you know, being calm and quiet in the moment and then later on talking about, you know, I should have slapped her. I should have cussed her out. No, that's not meekness.
Amen.
And I'm talking about me too, because sometimes I'll get so mad about a situation. I'll be dealing with something at the time and then later on I'll think about it and I'll be like, you know what? Wait a minute.
Amen. Uh-huh.
Anybody else do that? See, I'm telling on me
now.
I'm not going to admit it.
Do you know what I'm reminded of?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm reminded of because sometimes when you're trying to hold back, you do feel weak. But I'm reminded of the verse where I'm paraphrasing y'all, but says, you know, when we're weakest, you know, we're strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And
that's right.
And when you were talking about Moses and Jesus, you know, obviously they were directed by God and Jesus was God himself. So maybe that meekness was for Moses from God.
Amen. And them times when you up there in a situation and you know you hear God telling you, don't say nothing. Just pray for. I felt that today, amen. I felt that today, and I did.
I did pray today.
I did. I passed the test today. Woo, spirit fingers. I passed the test today. Because I don't always pass the test. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie about it. But God is constantly working to make us more like him. Isn't that what Pastor preached this Sunday? He was preaching about, Lord, make me over, or divine redo. Sometimes I got I got to go to God for that divine redo. I got to go back down to the potter's house myself. I got to get back up on the wheel so he can go on to work with me because sometimes I ain't right, and I know it. And if we tell the truth, sometimes we miss the mark, and when we do, it's time to go back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up.
Yeah. And, you know, this these Beatitudes, Jesus is talking about, you know, his people to one another also. You know, it's mostly to one another.
Yes.
And he came, I've forgotten how you said it, but Jesus did come. He came to minister to the people who were open. And also, everything you're going to, you have read and will read, we have to keep in mind that it's, they are fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
And Rochelle said, when you are, when you, like Rochelle said, when you are meek, the Lord will strengthen you. I think this is what
yes,
you said, didn't you? You said the Lord would strengthen you. And my comment to that is that's how God wants us, because he wants us to live on his strength, not on our strength. And he can only
Amen.
Use us when we are in that state.
See,
Amen. If you're full of your own strength, how where's there room for God? I mean, how can he use us? So
Amen.
Them to walk in meekness.
Yeah, because we don't have no use. We don't really have a need for God. When we're doing it on our
that's
own
right.
power, we don't have a need for him. That's
right.
Just like anything else. But let me tell you this. This is the other thing, though. When you do it in your own power, you burn out. When you do it in the power of Christ, you don't.
Now, that's good. That's really good. You do burn out. You burn out quickly.
You do.
Yeah. Really do. And people don't understand that, but it's true. If you step back and just be quiet and watch, you'll see. You'll see it before your own eyes in other people, you know.
Amen.
But
Amen. That's
and
the
we
truth.
Can see it in our lives as we look back in our lives, where we, if we didn't burn out, we were close to it, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a blessing. It's blessed are the meek. It really is a blessing.
That's true. Amen. Amen. So amen. So that was blessed is the meek. We just recapping. Now that was all last week, so let's get started for this week. Amen. We recap what we covered last week. This week, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, wait a minute. Blessed are the meek. Now, let me go back for a second because we didn't deal with the last part of that. Blessed is meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These are the people that walk like Jesus, that walk like Moses. These are the people who are using a constrained strength. They are using a restrained strength. They shall inherit the earth. So it's not like you're losing something. It's not like you're losing anything. Amen?
You're not losing anything because you're going to have great influence on other people. I mean, people are going to listen up to you because they watch your lifestyle. They I think people really want to be like you. But they know that they can't.
And that's where the jealousy and all those other little issues and vicissitudes come in. But you know what? Not my circus, not my monkey. That's their issues. So we have to just pray for them and keep right on rolling. That's what we have to do. And being meek, that's what we're supposed to be doing anyway. It's praying. When you want to slap somebody, you don't have to go tell nobody. You just pray for them. So you know what, God? You know how I'm really feeling. You know how this is. And you know what? After a while, it gets to the point where you don't even want to hit folks no more. You don't want to cuss them out. You don't want to say anything ugly to them. It gets to a point where the Holy Spirit, you're hearing the Holy Spirit, and you begin to, you know what? I'm going to just pray for her because she just don't know what she's doing. You know what? He made me mad, but I'm just going to pray about this. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, you begin to feel compassion toward them.
Yes. You do.
Because you know they're not in a good place. They've got to be hurting somewhere. It's something is out of order inside, you know. Amen. How can you not feel compassion for them?
Amen. That's good, Rosa. You begin to feel that compassion. You begin to feel that compassion for them, and that compassion takes away the anger, takes away the bitterness, takes away all the other stuff that you bet your flesh want to feel. Your flesh wants to feel that stuff, but your spirit man is now overriding that. Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, hello. What's going on, sis?
Hey, my sisters. How y'all doing?
No, praise God. We are well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got something you want to add before we keep going?
If I may, just something brief.
Amen.
But first of all, I want to say Happy New Year to my sisters in Christ. And
Amen.
Yeah, praise God for another new year. I heard that you all were talking about prayer, and that's just one of the things that I know that God's been dealing with my heart about, strengthening those things that remain. And when you talked about praying for others and how others sometime will tempt us to say or react or respond in a way that is unchristlike, all I could think about at that moment was Christ when he was on that cross. And when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And and that was that had to be the hardest thing for a human, to pray for those that despitefully abuse or hurt you or use you or do you wrong. But that's the epitome of being Christ-like, being willing to suffer, being willing to suffer for his sake, and having on the compassion that he had. And we can't do that in our own human flesh, obviously. We have to, you know, have the Spirit of Christ resting within us, in our lives, in our hearts, and on our lives, to be able to respond in that manner. Yielding to the Spirit of God, like you said, I mean, that's when we have to die and get out of the way and let God do his thing through us and humble ourselves, because we're so tempted to get in our flesh at that point, and that's what the devil wants, so that we will not be able to be Christ-like and be a light to those that he sends our way. You know, those people are there sometimes to perfect us, to see, to let us know where we are.
But
know,
sis, wait a minute. You just said something a second ago. You just said, you just said something about perfecting. Oh, we have to die to our flesh. But that's something we got to do every day anyway. I used to tell the when we taught Bible study in our other church, it was you have to climb up on the altar of sacrifice and put your foot on your own neck.
That's
you got
right.
to do that to yourself. You have to climb up there, because we are supposed to be living sacrifice. The sacrifices
Amen.
That they put on the altar are supposed to be living sacrifice. We are living sacrifice. We can get up off the altar anytime. But there's a problem
Anytime.
With us getting up off that altar. If you get up off that altar, you didn't complete the sacrifice. It's not finished yet, which means at some point is you're going to have to do it again. At some point, you're going to have to completely die in that process. You're going to have to come back and repeat it. You got to go repeat first grade again. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. And what we do is we take matters in our own hands. At that point,
we do.
We step back in the flesh rather than being in the spirit. You know,
that's right.
The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What makes us think that we don't have to die daily?
Exactly. I die daily. Amen. And like I said, climbing up on that altar and putting yourself up on that altar, killing
Amen.
Flesh.
And, yes.
Putting
and
your foot on your own neck. That's
it's
right.
Not a place to be. It isn't, and that's why it's so hard for us, because it's not a comfortable place.
No, it's not. Amen. Thank you, Sister Robin. Thank you for that. We needed that.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. So Matthew 5:6, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. That's a good one. Hunger and thirst. That's passion, ain't it? Isn't that passion? That's having a deep sadness, a deep passion about something. You know, you see people who are passionate. And I think, as a matter of fact, I do believe we got to this part because we started talking about how people will tell you when you really decide, I have decided to follow Jesus. When you really decide you're going to follow Jesus, when you really get in there, no turning back, no turning back. When you get in there, no turning back, and you get in that mode and people tell you, oh, it don't take all that. Oh, it don't take all that. When they see the passion that you have, when they see the fire that you have for God, when they see you trying to live right and do right and speak right and live right and love right, and then, oh, it don't take all that. But obviously it does if Jesus said that when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled.
When you hunger and thirst, I'm trying to think of what to say about the hunger.
You know what? I was just thinking about something, Pastor Rosie. I was just thinking about something. Mm-hmm. You know what? In America, we don't know what it's like to be hungry. Most of us nowadays don't know what it's like to be hungry.
Yeah, I know.
We are always eating. We're always doing something. And we've turned into a gluttonous society. I know I'm talking about this from the natural perspective, but I'm putting it in this analogy because we don't know what it's like to be hungry. I mean, there are some people, don't get me wrong, there are some people who do. I'm not negating them. But I'm saying on the average, in the circles that we travel in, especially in the house of God, because many of us, let's just be real, that's the one sin don't nobody preach about.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Come on now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's the one sin. I've heard one preacher preach about that. Bishop Richie. I heard Bishop Richie preach on that maybe two or three times. But I have never heard other preachers preach about gluttony. And I'm not going in that direction, but what I'm saying is even in the church, especially in the church, we don't know what it's like to be hungry for real. Yet Jesus said that we need to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness.
Yeah, that means you don't have enough. You don't have enough.
Right. But not only that, Rosie. Not only do you not have enough, but you are in pain.
Yeah, you feel like you're
really hungry.
Die.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are in pain for righteousness. You are in pain. That's when we have the heart of God.
Yeah.
That's when we really have his heart. Because God has a heart for righteousness.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you mentioned something about in the natural food. I remember a time in my life, and it was a long time in my life. I would almost cry because, and I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how people could be at a restaurant or be at somebody's house or be someplace, especially at home, and they would have their plates full, normal full, and they would take a few bites, and the plate would still be half full of food. And then they would just dump it in the trash. I would almost cry. I would cringe And it took me years to get over that. I couldn't understand why people could do that. It just seemed like such a waste when so many people were hungry.
Yeah.
You brought that analogy up. And so if you look at it from the spiritual, it's sort of like that. You're so hungry, you wish you had those pieces that they're throwing away.
Amen.
And you're right. A lot of people don't know what that's like. They just don't.
Yeah.
Even in the spirits, even in the quote unquote church, quote unquote religious world, in America, we are inundated with religious programming. We are inundated with, we have the church channel, we have BET on Sunday mornings, we have what's the other one, CBN, CBN. We have all these different church channels. We have on the radio. We have on Sirius Radio. We have on the internet. You have CDs. You've got cassettes. We've got radio. You name it, we got it. iPods, iPhones, everything. We've got more gospel music. We got more preaching. We got more of everything. And people treat it just like Rosie just gave that example of that plate at somebody's house. You pick over it and then scrape it in the garbage can.
Yes,
that's so good.
That's exactly how, at least that's how I see so many Christians, and we are talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about church folk.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's who Jesus was talking to. He wasn't talking to folks who he was talking to the church too.
That's right, and they just discard it. They just discard it as if it is waste, as if it is what was the word you used? They just discard it as if it's nothing. And I'm sure it hurts everybody's heart that's on this line here, because you get on this line having heart after line. It bothers me whenever I see people treating the Word of God as if it's commonplace, as if it's of no great substance, you know, that it's just the good book. I mean, what does that mean?
There are some countries where the Bible is so scarce, where they will take a Bible and they will tear it into sections so that everybody can be reading a part of it, and then they'll share it and rotate it, and just so they can get a piece of the Word of God.
Yeah.
There are countries where they are so hungry. They have more underground churches in China. They have underground churches in these countries where the Bible is outlawed, where God is, Jesus, saying Jesus will get you killed. These people are for real about their faith. And as a matter of fact, I remember somebody saying this to me several years ago. They say in other countries they are praying that you all end up going through the same type of persecution that they do, so that the church can be real.
Because
see, right now we play at church a lot. We play church a lot. Mm-hmm. We do what's comfortable. But again, we're going back to being hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God. That's what we need. We need that fire. We need that fire.
Yes.
That's for real Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
That's what we really
Jesus
have.
Already did the work on the cross, so what we need to do is get that's fire, you know. My goodness.
Amen. Amen. That's that passion. That's that passion.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Let's keep on going. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, you reap what you sow. Be careful what you plant, because it's going to grow.
That's it. That's it. That's it right there. You're right.
Be careful right. what you plant. You know, when I was at home, and even up here, not so much up here, but especially when we were at home and my children were younger, we had a big garden in the backyard, and God taught me so much from my garden. We would grow all kinds of stuff. We had all kinds of stuff in the garden. And what was interesting was when you planted stuff, watching it grow, the process of it growing. And one thing that I saw was that when you plant a seed, let's say I plant a kernel of corn. If I plant a kernel of corn into the ground and it grows up a stalk of corn, on that stalk of corn, I might have four or five different ears. And if each one of them ears got at least 100 kernels, guess what? I just got my crop. Transfer that into the spirit. And that's what we deal with in the spirit. That's that reaping and sowing.
That's
that sowing and reaping. And this is the year of blessings and curses. This is the year of reaping what you sow. We better be real careful what we plant this year. We need to be real careful. We need to be praying. We need to just be believing God for the blessings to come and going ahead and repenting for all of that bad stuff that we done planted at some point in our lives. Amen? Believe in God for the blessings that are coming. That's what this is talking about. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
And when you're showing mercy, you show mercy in so many different ways. Mercy is kindness toward one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my goodness,
kindness,
first of all, to the body of Christ, and it's kindness toward human beings in general, you know.
Amen. Amen.
Being what's another word? Kindness, gracious, all that goes hand in hand. I mean, showing compassion, we already spoke about compassion. Isn't that a part of mercy?
Yes,
show
it is.
Where compassion is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy is a big word to me. It's a huge...
It's a very big word. it's a very big word.
And
you know what?
Takes,
you were just...
You know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it takes a certain amount of strength to show mercy also, I think. Maybe...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't think the same thing, but same way.
I
just feel it takes a lot of strength to show mercy.
Yes, it does. Because sometimes you don't want to.
You don't want to, and mercy takes you out of your comfort zone.
Yes, it
does. I mean, you have to deny yourself sometimes in order to show mercy.
I'm trying to think of a happening
in the scripture, and the only thing that comes to my mind is the Good Samaritan.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Go ahead.
I wanted to bring up something else, too. And on Tuesday nights, we've been talking about prayer, and we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. But in Matthew chapter 6, one thing that it says is if you don't forgive people, if you forgive folks, God can forgive you. If you don't forgive folks, God can't forgive you. And that goes along with that mercy. That goes along with that compassion. That goes along with that grace. That goes along with that love. And that's one thing we said last week is basically everything we're talking about is talking about love.
And who shows the greatest
And that was Jesus,
God.
The water
yeah.
We were sent with, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
Did he have mercy on us?
Yeah.
Did he suffer long for us? Did he,
yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
Send on us? Wow.
That's awesome. You're absolutely right. And just like you said about the being merciful, Jesus was on the cross and had mercy on us.
He sure did while he was suffering. I mean,
while we hung him there.
Word. Yeah, I know.
While we hung him there.
That's good. That's right.
While we deserted him. While we spit on him and ripped out his beard. While we beat him. While we
uh-huh.
gave him up to be killed. He still had mercy and compassion on us.
Have mercy, yes.
Amen.
And by the way, something we totally did not deserve.
Mhm. Mhm.
Something we totally did not deserve, but God. Amen.
But he does it for us too. We say that.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. Let's
so
look at
mercy, we are blessed.
Amen.
Wow.
We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And that goes into the next one. That goes on to the next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Wow. That's
pure
that
in heart.
Inward holiness.
Pure in
what's
heart.
What's that, Pastor Logan? Yeah,
no,
that's that inward holiness.
I'm trying to think about pure in heart, yeah.
Yeah, that's that inward holiness. That's that stuff. That's where you are on the inside. That, you know, when God has cleansed you and purified you and he's washed you and you got that kind of relationship with God to where when people see you coming, they know you've been with God.
Okay.
Kind of like Moses. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Uh-huh. No, I said you throw out some words out there to put things into perspective. So it made me think. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Moses. Remember when Moses would go to the tabernacle and he would spend time with God, or he'd go up on the mountain and spend time with God. When he came back down, he glowed. They had to put a veil over his face because people thought he was scary.
Yeah.
But they knew he had been with God. They knew he had been in God's presence. We might not glow, but do we smell like God? Do we look like God? How do people know that we've been with God? Do they know
mm-hmm.
we've been with God?
So if you have a pure heart, that tells me that and everything that you just said, when people do see, when we are around people, people do see us, and we have a pure heart. Now, remember, people watch us all the time.
Uh-huh.
They know that we can be trusted. They know that we
Amen.
Don't have any hidden agendas.
That's
they
right.
That
no ulterior motives. That's
no
right.
No ulterior motives. Our mind and heart is on one, and that's God, that's Christ.
That's
you
it.
Know? And the
Amen.
Kingdom of God. So
Amen.
We are focused in that direction, you know. So
Amen. Amen. And you can you think of any of the people that you've met in church, any of the people that you've met in the store, any of your friends, any of your family that you can say, wow. They're pure in heart. They really are. You know, that person that you know, when you really need to pray, you go to them because you know that they talk to God and they hear from God. You know they when you're around them, they smell like God.
Mm-hmm. For me, yes. I talk to her like 2 or 3 times a week, and that's my aunt who's almost 90
Amen.
Years old.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to ask something.
Go ahead, jump in, baby.
Before I was saved, I remember when I was looking at daycares for my kids, or when my kids would make friends at school. Whenever I found out they were Christians, I was like, ooh, this will be a good environment, because even though I was in the world, I knew that Christians should be pure in heart. And so I was seeking that out, not for myself, because I knew that that was a good thing. And I know people today who are not saved, but go to Christians for comfort, go to Christians for advice, because they're expecting us to be pure in heart.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
And you know what? That you said something just then. That is, even though it irritates Christians sometimes, see, the world always defining who we ought to be, this, that, and other. But this one time, the world, right. We should be pure in heart. We should look like Jesus. We should have God's heart. We should look like him. We should smell like him. We should walk like him. We should talk like him. We should think like him. I'm talking to myself, too. This is who we are supposed to be. We are Christians, Christ-like. This is who Christ was. Jesus said for us to come to God as a little child. Why like a little child? Because little children have pure hearts.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of little children, pure hearts, yeah.
Amen, amen.
Anybody else have something they want to add?
Amen, amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
These
Amen.
Are some telling us where we need to go.
Amen.
How we need to do this. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Amen.
What is a peacemaker?
Well, anybody else want to say something before I say I feel like I'm hogging the line?
Well, hello.
Hi.
How you doing? My name is Brother Larry. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Larry. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Larry.
Oh, pretty
Larry.
Good.
How y'all doing?
How'd
you find Proverbs 31 ladies' night?
How did you repeat your statement?
I said, how did you find Proverbs 31 ladies' night?
Oh,
you
are
welcome.
I know it's for women, you know, they got, but I always try to learn something different because I'm not, you know, God ain't created me to be a woman, but as a man, I always listen to what a woman needs and her wants and her, you know, her desires.
Amen.
So I think that's a smart man. Everybody's different.
And
so,
you're a smart man, brother, and you are more than welcome. Amen.
And number two, I grew up under, you know, women pastors. I didn't
Amen.
Have male pastors for about 25 years, but I always had women leaders, so that's what I'm always
Amen.
Attracted to.
Praise God.
So,
we welcome you. I tease a lot, but you praise God. We welcome you tonight. What would you like to add, brother?
Yes, a peacemaker. It's even though you have every right to go off in a situation, you have
mm-hmm.
every right to address the situation in anger,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
instead you go by peaceful. You say, you know what, Lord, my sister know I've been a grabbed around her neck. My brother know I would have punched his lighters out. But I'm going to make peace because this is what, you know, I have learned. You never know what weapons the enemy has. So when you're
yep.
thinking that all I got to do is just do my normal temper tantrum or go off, some people
mm-hmm.
might stab you. They might kill you.
Come on,
They might work a curse on you. So a peacemaker is, even though, and it goes in another direction, even though you have every opportunity to gossip about a situation,
come on,
you just say, you know what, I'm going to pray for him, because if a person gossips to you, they'll gossip against you. So a peacemaker is keeping peace at all times. Now, there are sometimes you can address things to keep peace. Now, peacemaker don't always mean I'm a coward, I don't want no trouble. But when a bully come or when an enemy come, or people come and say, look, you're not trespassing on my land. You're not coming trespassing on my spiritual walk with God. There's all to it.
Yes,
so a peacemaker is not a definition of you calling it out, but you bring in a peaceful situation. And thank you, Jesus. A proverb say a soft answer
turneth away wrath.
Thank you. Yeah, turneth away wrath. A soft answer. And there's many faults. Amen. I'm done.
Amen. Well, that was right on time. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what a peacemaker is. And to piggyback off of that, a peacemaker is also one that's going to that might not even be in the situation, but will bring peace between other people. They can bring reconciliation between some other folks. Go ahead, my sister.
And you know something, I just want to say this. I want to be real, show some vulnerability here. I tell you, there are times when I can't stand peacemakers, and I know there's some other people in this line who feel the same way, because I don't want them to make peace. I want to see, you know, if peacemakers drive me nuts sometimes. But at the same time, I strive to be a peacemaker. It takes a very it is definitely a fruit of the spirit. You're right. I have a dear friend who is a peacemaker, and there could be a group of us talking about a situation. That peacemaker will come and say, "Well, no, let's look at the other side."
Like, amen.
We really do. So, God bless the peacemakers.
Amen.
And a peacemaker will pray about situations until the sun comes up and goes down again. They just stick in there and praying for peace.
Amen. And isn't this the season for peace? This is a season when we're seeking peace on every side. This is the season for God's peacemakers to arise. And the word says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
These peacemakers are going to be called the children, the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. And you know what? Another way I'm looking at something, and another way to put this is, blessed are those who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and who bring the same message of reconciliation to other people.
Right.
They shall be called the sons of God.
Praise God.
Amen. That's deep right there. That's really deep. You know, this is talking about those people that go, even preachers, even ministers, even prophets, even those like who are like a Philip or a Stephen, who go out and just evangelize. They just go out telling folk about Jesus because they know what Jesus did. I know what Jesus did in my life, and I got to go tell somebody. And they go tell somebody. And that soul comes into the fold. That soul comes into the kingdom. Wow. Mm-hmm. God said, those shall be called my sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those mm-hmm. who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Right now we're seeing that on so many different levels all over the place. We're seeing that all over the place, left and right. Blessed are those that, you know, that Jesus at one point said, you know, just what they did to me, they're going to do to you. And you know what? I'm still trying to understand why the body of Christ in America feels like we're going to escape persecution. How the body of Christ expects that we are going to escape what the rest of the world and the rest of history has shown to be a fact of life. The world hates us because they hate him who we follow.
Uh-huh. Wow.
We have to be prepared to stand in the face of opposition, and the opposition grows stronger every day. We and some of the opposition comes from within our very home.
Oh,
how do you deal with it? What did you say, Pastor Moses?
I just said, oh, yes.
Yeah, some of the opposition comes from within our very homes. Some of the opposition, we see it on our jobs now. The more anti-Christian atmosphere, we see it in the news. We feel it in places that we go. I mentioned it last week. If somebody asked me to pray, don't ask me to pray because I'm praying in Jesus' name. A lot of places don't want to pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah, amen. That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
So I'm just saying, you know, we have so many. We want to live a sanitized, cleaned up gospel, but the gospel wasn't sanitized and cleaned up. The gospel was messy. It was bloody. It was the gospel itself is the good news, but the people who carried it, out of the 12 disciples, only one of them died of natural causes. And that wasn't really natural because he had been boiled in oil first. So I'm just saying, you know, we have to be prepared for that persecution. When my children and I pray at night, when we have our Bible study together and we pray and we talk about our Christian walk, one of the things that I tell them is, are you ready to die for Jesus? Because in your lifetime, that's probably where it's going to go. Are you ready? Reconcile yourself to that fact. Are we really, really ready and willing to die? For God I live and for God I die. Are we ready for that? Jesus said those that seek to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their lives will gain them or save them. What was that little girl? Her name was Rachel Joy. She was one of the first ones killed in Columbine. And those young men walked up to her, and they asked her, are you a Christian? And she wouldn't back down. How many of us will stand with that much faith and courage and just holding on to the word of God, holding on to who Jesus is? If somebody basically told you, renounce Jesus and live, or confess him and die, how many of us would be willing to stand and say, for Jesus I live and for Jesus I die? I had a dream of a while back, must have been about 8 or 9 years ago. I had a dream, and it was so vivid. It was so real. It shook me. And in the dream, it was kind of like we were in trains and boxcars, and they were shipping us off to different destinations. In this particular city, and they had us separated, kind of like concentration camps. And They had the men in one place. I didn't know where they put my husband. I didn't know where my children were. And I was in another place. And I was in a wedding dress. I was in a white dress. I was in a white wedding dress. And they asked me something about my faith. And I began to preach and tell them, if you don't confess Christ, you will die and go to hell eternally. You need Jesus. I just began to just preach in this place that they had me. I began to preach. And I pray that I have that same zeal and passion and fearlessness. I pray that I still have that same level if ever I'm actually in that situation. And I pray that for every saint of God, that they would have that passion and that fire and that tenacity and that fearlessness when faced with that choice. That's what the scripture is talking about. Blessed are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There are pastors overseas. They're not even pastors. They are just Christians, people who refuse to renounce their faith, who are being beheaded, who are being shot down. Matter of fact, there was one of our bishops, one of his connectional pastors in Africa. He and his family, his wife and his several kids, were in the car, and they were traveling back from church on their way home one evening, and there were soldiers on the road, and they stopped the car. And they asked him to get out of the car. He got out of the car. They asked him if he was a Christian. He said he was, and they killed him on the spot. Made his wife and kids get out of the car and walk back home. They kept his body. They took the car and took his body. We don't know when that sacrifice may be asked of us. I'm sure the pastor down in South Carolina did not know that his life would be required of him that night. It may not be that extreme. It might be imprisonment. It might be financial challenges. It might be health challenges. It might be emotional, psychological, marital, children, whatever it is. Are we willing, are we ready to stand up and say, for God I live and for God I die? Anybody can jump in, you want to.
Amen. You know, it's things that, you know, that pops up in my mind. You know, when a person first gets saved, you know, that's why if you look in Revelation, it says, return back to your first love.
Amen.
Because when you lukewarm, you ain't going to make a sound decision. When you lukewarm,
nope.
It's about you, yourself, and I. It was a song called Me, Myself, and I.
Yep.
So you got to be on, you got to be hot for Christ because, you know, I'm so careful. You know, I hear people say, yeah, if that day come, I'm going to stand like a soldier. But be careful what you say. You know, the Bible says, yeah, you be prepared, you be ready in season and out of season. But be careful what you say.
Right.
I know Peter. He was one of the disciples. He said, Jesus, I follow you. I love
right.
you. And Jesus said, before the crow cock, three times you shall deny me twice. Now,
amen.
If people can see that, the heart, Jesus saying he look at the heart. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I tell people, when the Spirit of God is upon you, when things are going awesome, you are invincible. But when y'all was talking about hunger, when you don't
come
have
on.
No food, when
Preach.
You're thirsty, when your water is poisonous, when all you got is baking soda and mustard in the refrigerator,
Preach,
and somebody say, are you still a Christian? What should be your answer?
It's hard.
What be your answer? So I tell everybody to stay on fire for Christ. Ask God for your anointing. Stay on fire for Christ. that even all men gonna be tested. You know, I'm reminded of this. You know, people gonna come before God. I cast out devils in your name. I heal the sick.
Yeah.
I pray in your name. I prophesy in your name. He said, I know you're not, you workers of iniquity. You ain't sin shaking. So what I tell people, take a stand. I'm gonna help y'all with this. You know, we used mention about tests. Some of y'all, it could be a test. I'm gonna help y'all with this. You know, the Bible say we can be entertaining angels. What about a demon manifests itself unto you and say, I'm gonna blow your brain out? If you're a Christian, if you say no, if you say no, the demon's gonna disappear. If you say yes, the demon's gonna still disappear. Pass the test. Because somebody holds a gun to your head, it don't mean they're going to always kill you. God can say, you didn't pass the test.
You know what? You know what?
Amen.
There was
I'm
a
done.
Situation. No. There was a situation several years ago. There was a story I read, and it says they were in an underground church, and I want to say it was in China. They were in an underground church, and they were praying, and they were worshiping, and these police busted in. Rifles out. And they were like, you know, if you're not a Christian, leave now. But if you are not a Christian, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, leave now. And they had the guns drawn, pointed at people. And about half the people filed out real fast. They got out of there fast. And they said, the rest of you, do you claim to be Christians? And the people look back and they say, yes. The soldiers closed the door and put their guns down. They said, we just wanted to make sure. And they began to worship with the people.
My goodness.
Right.
See, sometimes you got to be like Jesus and clear the room. Clear the room of the ones that don't really believe. You know, like when he had to go raise a little girl from the dead, and he put everybody out the room except certain people. Okay, see, sometimes we got to make sure, you know, sometimes you got to know who you worship with. Amen? And sometimes going, you know, at that point, the ones that stand, the ones that say, hey, for God I live and for God I die. It is what it is, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Whatever got to happen, got to happen.
Amen.
Sometimes we got to figure out where we at. We got to figure out where we at. And sometimes, like the brother said, sometimes you ain't going to know till you get in that situation. It's easy to say, yay, Lord, I'm standing with you. One of them Peter moments. It's easy to have one of them Peter moments. But for real, see, God knows our heart. As a matter of fact, God said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We think we might stand. We say we might stand. But you know what? That might be my wishy-washy day. I pray I don't have none. Y'all ain't got to say amen. You can just go and say, hey, maybe y'all's faith, maybe you will never waver. And I pray I don't ever waver. But you know, again, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the kingdom of heaven shall be theirs. For God I live and for God I die. That needs to be the praise that stays on our lips. That's on our lips today and it stays on our lips every day. Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to stop right there. Anybody got anything they want to say before we close out this night?
I just want to thank the brother for being on the line and just welcome him any Wednesday.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you. So we're blessed by your words, brother.
Amen.
You're very welcome.
You're Amen. Welcome. Amen. Sister Rochelle, you got anything
yes.
you want to say, darling? Come on in,
no,
girl.
This this was good. This was really good. Praise God. Praise God.
Pastor Rosie?
Yes. Praise God.
Praise God. This has been a real blessing tonight. This has been a real blessing. And as usual, we still can't get through about two or three verses. amen. But I look forward to it. I look forward to trying to finish up the Beatitudes next week. Amen. Pastor Rosie, you want to pray us out tonight?
Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is so sweet.
Yes,
your word is so sweet, oh God. We cannot get enough of your word. I thank you, Holy Father, for your word. I thank you, Holy Father, that we can come together like this and study your word in peace. In peace, Father, I thank you for the peace that we have in enjoying your word together with one another. Father, and so we are mindful of them in the United States and especially abroad, Father, who are able to come together and discuss your word. Not only come together, but they are not even able to own or put the Bible in their own homes, God, and be found out. So, Father, we are blessed here in the United States, and I just thank you, Holy Father, that we have your word and can enjoy it in this manner. Praise
yes,
you,
Lord.
God.
Thank
you, Jesus. Bless your word that has gone out tonight, God. Bless your word in us, God. Multiply it in us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and let it do what it is supposed to do.
Yes,
God,
yes.
We thank you for these Beatitudes, Father. We thank you, God, for the spiritual gift that you
thank
have
you,
implanted
Jesus.
In us, God. It is our prayer, Father, that you let them grow and grow to maturity. We want to walk in the Spirit and righteousness, Father. We want to walk in the Spirit and show mercy. We want you, Father, to hunger and thirst in righteousness. Father, we want to be peacemakers. We want to be of a Christian view. We want to grow in grace, Father. We desire this, and we yield ourselves to this, Father. We would thank you, Father, that you are growing day by day. And we just praise you and thank you, Father. For you look on us, God, and you see mercy. And you show mercy, and you show love. You have long suffering with us, Father. I thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Bless everyone that's in line tonight, God. Bless everyone, Father. And we just pray, Father, that you bring us back next Wednesday to study your word and just be blessed by you, God. For as we read in your word, we are being filled. Father. And I just thank you, God. I just thank you for your holiness, God. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless this man,
thank
Father.
Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord.
We
I don't
bless you,
Father.
We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we thank everyone on the line and everybody in the archives for joining us tonight on Breaking Chains of Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. We thank you for sharing with us and allowing us to share with you what God has placed in each and every one of us. This is Pastor Kimberly Buford. We thank you. We bless you. We praise God for you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. You be blessed. Have a great evening. Amen.
Thank you.
It's Breaking Chains with Young Adults Talk on YAT Radio.